Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back, everybody. Another crazy week in the Big 12. I am shaking my head. I cannot believe the scores that I saw yesterday. But it's good for the actual conference because, you know what? They're looking a lot better than we originally thought. I'm back here with my co-host, Rob. What the heck is going on this morning with you, man? How
morning,
are you feeling?
Morning, Corey. I'm feeling great, man. I just got off the treadmill, ran about 2 miles.
you're
I was fired up after those games yesterday, man. The Big 12 looks good.
You're over there like Skip Bayless. You're up there at 5 a.m. doing push-ups. You're ready for it.
I'm just like Skip Bayless. I'm trying to be at least. I actually just bought my girlfriend his wife's book that came out. It's called Balls, How to Deal with a Man Who's Obsessed with Sports.
What did, what's her name, Ernestine or something like that? I can't remember.
Ernestine Bayless, yeah. It's I just
That's
bought
it
online. It's not here yet, but, yeah, definitely looking forward to reading that.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So I guess where can we start? I guess we can start at Kansas. How about the Fighting Les Miles?
My goodness. Hey, so Kansas the other night went into Boston College as a 20.5 point underdog and beat up on them 48-24. 48-24 on the road in Boston on a Friday night. Friday the 13th had to have had something to do with it, man. I'm telling you, Kansas had lost 48 straight road games to Power 5 opponents, and they went in there and kicked Boston College's ass all night.
That's Les Miles for you. And Kylie, shout out to Kylie, who helped us host the show last week. She called it. She called a bunch of these things. This is insane, but they went on the road and beat these dudes 48 to what, 24 or 14? Where they beat their crap out of them.
Yes, sir, 48-24.
Wow.
This is coming off a week that I said the Les Miles struggle bus was stuck in park. I mean, I was not a believer at all. I thought the Jayhawks were just treading water, you know, bound to do the same old thing they do every year, and you know, they went in there and surprised the entire country. I don't think anybody was picking them to win, especially not by the score that they won.
That's what's crazy about college football, honestly. Like, if you actually were a sports bookie or you talk to any sports bookie who actually lives in Vegas for real, they say they make their most money off college football and college basketball because it's so unpredictable. NFL, you're probably going to make your money based on, like, a spread or a line. Versus college, you're going to make yours on win or losses because it's such an emotional, unpredictable game, man. It really is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Les Miles had Carter Stanley ready to go. The quarterback went 20-27 for 238 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, what I was really impressed by with him was he threw an interception on his first pass of the game. You know, you're Kansas football on the road, you throw an interception, first pass of the game. Everybody's expecting you to roll over and get your butt beat like you do every time, but they turned around and he went for 3 touchdowns in the game. And like we said already, 48-24, Kansas wins.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I don't even think Florida State will beat BC this year with Willie Taggart. So I'm impressed. And honestly, Rob, if Kansas is serious, they need to go ahead and give Les Miles 6 years. They need a 6-year plan. There's some places I understand there's expectations. You got 3-4 years to build a program. But at Kansas, you need a 6-year program. You got rid of Turner Gill. That didn't work out. You got rid of Charlie Weiss. That didn't work out. You gave David Beatty 4 or 5 years. That didn't work out. Give a guy like Les Miles 6 years, and I guarantee when he has those teams like Coastal Carolina come in, he will not lose to them again. And what they need to start doing at Kansas is getting 3 out-of-conference teams that they know that they should have a chance to beat. Get 2 ones that are guaranteed. One on the road, like a Boston College level, like a lower to mid-tier ACC or another Power 5 conference school. Try and come in the conference with 3 wins, and if they do what they're supposed to, they can squeak out, I think, 3 wins. And I think that's how he's going to build Kansas, Rob. He's going to have to try and go 6-6 for a couple of years, and then here and there, 7-5, 7-5, and then slowly get to 8-4. But I think you need a 6-year plan if you're honest about building KU football. They're an excellent basketball school, but as far as football goes, Rob, they definitely need to give that man a 6-year plan.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely have the coach to do it. I mean, he has a proven track record. Obviously, everybody knows what he did at LSU. And then, Corey, I do have a quick programming announcement. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., we're going to do a Facebook Live show with Smacker Miles, who's a freelance journalist in Lawrence, Kansas, and she is the daughter of head coach Les Miles. We're going to do a Facebook Live broadcast with her 7 p.m. on Tuesday.
Wow, that's awesome. I will definitely be watching, and I'm sure Big 12 Nation will be listening in for sure. That will be awesome. Now, we got the next game. Let's go to – well, you know what? Let's just get into it. I saw the post from you yesterday. I saw the reaction from the fans and everything. Go ahead, talk about it. Iowa State.
I mean, mistakes. Iowa State all day long. I know it was a sloppy field. I know it was kind of a weird game. With College game day being there, the atmosphere was so great to start the day. Couple lightning delays. Things get weird. The field was absolutely soaked. Guys were slipping all over the place. But ultimately, you know, it was the mistakes. And I'm not just referring to the fumble on the punt at the end of the game. You don't lose a football game on one play. There was mistakes all day long. Brock Purdy, who actually played pretty well. I mean, he slipped on the handoff towards the end of the game at the Iowa 39 with 3 minutes left to go right before that ended up happening. And ultimately, they just made too many mistakes all day long. Iowa State is another one of those teams that I would throw the fake ID label on them. I think they haven't shown anything in their last four games, whether that's Iowa, Northern Iowa, whoever it is. I just don't think the Cyclones have looked great so far this year.
Yeah, and I was pretty upset, too, that first game, Rob, when you saw me posting on the page about some of the play calling versus Northern Iowa.
Right.
I was scratching my head. And also, David Montgomery is going, I saw the running back they had. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but he's not a David Montgomery. I think he will be a solid back. Maybe he'll get better in the future, but he nowhere carries that load that David Montgomery carried those last couple of years when they went into Norman and shocked Oklahoma and went on the road and shocked other teams, and everybody's like, whoa, Iowa State is really good. So,
right.
And I think that's what Matt Campbell's kind of trying to bring. He's trying to bring that run-pass attack kind of thing where he is, you know, kind of similar to what Dan Antonio does and kind of similar to how Herm Edwards shocked Michigan State yesterday, you know, methodical, trying to control the clock, play good defense, pass when needed. But I just don't see that running back as nowhere as good as David Montgomery was to this team.
Yeah, and like you just said, I just don't see Iowa State as, you know, the team that they were the last couple of years, a team who could go into Norman and pull off the upset against the Sooners. I mean, so far they haven't showed that kind of firepower. And, you know, I think Iowa State's down this year is really what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I say they go 6-6, you know, maybe finish 7-6, which isn't bad because – you know, what they were before when they had Paul Rose, they were not that good. I think the only year they were good with Paul Rose was with when they had Tom Herman. And I don't even know if Tom Herman was there. I think Tom Herman might have been there with Gene Kiszek. I don't know. I have to look those details up. But I definitely think that was a shock. I picked it 13-10. I'm not remember what you picked it, but I thought they would win by like a field goal. But it was still a low scoring game, like you said. I mean, the final was 18-7 or something like that, right?
18-17, yeah.
Exactly. And going into that situation, Rob, is like you said, they might not be the team that they were going to be. I'm going to go ahead and jump into the Kansas State win.
Huge win
State,
for the Wildcats.
Another one. Yeah, another one that Kylie actually called. The girl helped us, or the lady, I should say, that helped us co-host the show last week, she called that, and I was just like, she's going all Big 12, and she got that one. So props to her. We give props where props is due on this show. We're not haters like that. And I think what that is for so many years, Rob, it was Coach Snyder. And Coach Snyder was a great, great coach. He knew how to run the football, control the clock, get a crap load of walk-ons and kick people's butt who had five-star athletes with walk-ons. However, this guy, Kleiman or Coach Klein, Chris Kleiman, this guy's from North Dakota State. He's the real deal. Bowles left. He went on to Wyoming. Wyoming's kicking people's butt that people don't expect to. And then now he's going on to Kansas State. If you remember last week in the show sometime, Rob, I said people need to stop trying to get that top assistant like with Jeremy Pruitt, and they need to go to these smaller schools and get these people that dominated these smaller divisions. And that's exactly what North Dakota State is. They're Grand Valley at Division II. They're Mount Union at Division III. That's what they are. And so when they bring that type of mentality to Kansas State, who already have kids who are hard-nosed kids because they weren't five-star recruits out of college, then they do stuff like win on the road at Mississippi State. So I think Kleiman is bringing that North Dakota State winning mentality to Manhattan, the Little Apple, as they call it, and I'm thoroughly impressed by that win on the road at SEC school yesterday.
Corey, I could not agree with that more. That's actually one of my biggest points I wanted to bring up today. I wanted to talk about Chris Kleiman and just the winner's mentality that he has brought to Manhattan. Like you just said, Chris Kleiman, when he was at North Dakota State for six seasons, went 67-6 with three national championships. It's called bringing in a winner and changing the culture of a program. You know, he brought it back to the same way that, you know, Bill Snyder was running things there. Physical football team that's going to punch you in the mouth and just come out and compete for four quarters.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember the days when Snyder was in his heyday and he had those guys like Darren Sproles, who have been in the NFL for almost 13, 14 years at this point.
Right. Oh, Corey, one other thing I had from that game. I was really impressed with Skylar Thompson, their quarterback. He kind of struggled all day on the road in the SEC with all those cowbells going. But with 5 minutes and 37 seconds left, Skylar Thompson threw his only touchdown of the game that ended up being the game winner. Like we were just talking about, that winner's mentality – I just think that's something that, you know, you learn from your coach and the identity of your program. You know, you're in a close game at the end, on the road, in the SEC, and you find a way to pull that out. I just don't think that's something Kansas State has been doing the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely it. I mean, and those cowbells, I'm sitting there laughing in the back of my head. Those damn things can drive you crazy.
Oh, my God, those are worse than the Vuvuzelas were, if you remember those.
Yeah. Yes. those cowbells in Starkville, Mississippi are absolutely no joke. And, I mean, Joe Moorhead was Penn State's offensive coordinator when they scored so many points. He did a great job last year. I mean, I thought, you know, K-State would get him at home in Manhattan, but this impresses me way more. And you said a lot of things that people don't even have to go over again. Like, it's just that winning mentality, the fact that they're on the road at an SEC school. In addition to that, he knows what he wants to do. He finds a way to win. So in the fourth quarter when they're down, because I know those times I checked that they were down. In the fourth quarter when they're down, he's probably got the same look on his face, and he's got that belief. Like, yeah, we're going to get out of here with a win. Like, I don't care what's going on now. We're going to find a way to get out of here to win. And that's what I was telling you about when I say that's good coaching versus bad coaching, knowing the way. You know that when you watch the New England Patriots on Sunday, Rob, that if they're down by two touchdowns with 3 minutes left, it's still a chance that they will get out of there with a 3-point win.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree with that more. It's just, you know, changing that mentality that we are going to find a way to win this game no matter what, and then you fight till the very end. So, I mean, there was another big upset for the Big 12 this weekend, Corey. I don't know if you saw this one in Morgantown, but West Virginia beat NC State 44-27.
Hey, shout out to our co-host from last week. She called this. I don't know.
Kylie picked
them off. I don't know where Kylie got that, that type of confidence from, but she called that too. I said that because it was at home that I gave them a 7 spot, so NC State would win 21-14. West Virginia did not only just beat them, they kicked their butt, didn't they? What was the final on that, Rob?
44-27. They kicked their ass. Hey, and that was,
let's
that
go,
was a
Big
super
12.
Impressive second half from them. They were tied at 21 at halftime.
Man, look, let me tell you something. Every week from here on out, Rob, we need to call that the Big 12 is going to lose. And then they will go
yes,
kick
we
people.
Do.
That is
yes,
insane.
We do. I actually posted that on the Facebook page. I said all they have to do is bet against my picks, and they're going to be doing great.
Man, I could not believe that when I saw those three yesterday. I said, Les went into Boston, went to BC, or they call it Chestnut Hill, or whatever they call that. That area there, and went in there and just body slammed them. Then I said, oh, then I looked again. I said, oh, I see you, Kansas State. Then I looked again. I said, damn, look at West Virginia kicking ass. I was like, this is
right.
Crazy.
And, you know, there were some people who wanted to poo-poo those wins in the comments on Facebook, but when you beat an SEC team, an ACC team, and another ACC team, you know, I'm going to take that for what it's worth, and just that shows the depth of the Big 12 conference and how deep we are from top to bottom.
Absolutely. That's why this is Big 12 Nation, baby. What was that video you posted that somebody got hit and they did like an aerial spin? I was whoa.
Yeah, so the Mississippi State quarterback took off. I think it was 4th and 13. He tried to dive for the first down with about a yard left and went up and did a helicopter. And I'm telling you, he got launched higher in the air than any North Korean missile has made it thus far. The man got 10 feet in the air, did a full helicopter, and spun around.
Holy smoke. Oh, now you know we got to get to this one, Rob, because this is the one that you were sure that you had it down to. How about the damn TCU Horned Frogs?
TCU. Hey, they had a huge game. TCU, another team just like Kansas State. Gary Patterson has established a culture there. They're going to come in and punch you in the face and play physical football all day long. They beat Purdue 34-13, and the stat that really stuck out to me from that game was the rush yards. TCU had 346 yards on the ground. Purdue had only 23. The TCU defense stifled them all day long.
Yeah, and you know what's funny to me is I actually picked that game 24-21 because I saw how Purdue struggled at out of Nevada, and I figured like okay
Nevada,
on the road to Nevada. What'd you say?
Yeah, that was at Nevada. They lost on a walk-off kick.
Yeah, and for them not to be able to just put Nevada away, I said in the back of my head, I said I don't know. TCU has won some pretty tough road games. I've seen TCU go into West Virginia and win at West Virginia. When they had Holgorsen, when they had incredible receivers and incredible quarterbacks and athletes. So I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to go with TCU by a field goal just because I know Purdue will play lights out at home and they beat Ohio State at home. But this, like you said earlier, I wasn't expecting 34-13. I was expecting a three-point win, but no way was I saying 30. I mean, they handle business. I mean, and it's a different climate, everything. So That's very impressive. I'm very impressed with Coach Patterson and TCU.
Yeah, so I feel like TCU is one of those teams. They're not in the media a lot. They don't have a bunch of guys coming out making crazy statements. There's not a ton of people talking about them, but they're consistent every year with what they do. Gary Patterson knows exactly what, you know, how he wants to run his football team, how they're going to win football games. And consistently, year after year, TCU is right there, competing at the top of the Big 12, and then nationally as well, winning a game on the road in the Big 10 by 20 points. Another thing I took away from that game, Corey, was it appears that TCU has gone with Max Duggan at quarterback, the true freshman from Council Bluffs, Iowa. It looks like they're going to go that direction instead of with Alex Delton, the redshirt junior.
Now, this kid from Council Bluffs,
like,
Iowa, Rob, this kid from Council Bluffs, Iowa, did he start at TCU? Is he a transfer? What is the story on him?
No, he went straight to TCU out of high school. He was a big-time recruit. I think he was a 4-star. He's down there playing as a true freshman. Yesterday, he was 7 of 18 passing. But that's not TCU's brand of football, is to come out and sling it all over the field. And I think that's actually one reason why people are kind of down on them right now. They don't have that flashy offense. But, like I said, they're a physical football team who comes in, runs the ball, plays defense, and, you know, looks to come out with a win in the fourth quarter.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, very, very, very impressed, and I'm very, very proud of what TCU did on the road, very proud of what Kansas State did, very impressed with West Virginia. It really gave me a smile on my face. Even though I was wrong about half of them, I was very happy that the other half went the opposite way. I mean, just very impressed, very, very impressed.
Right.
With Kansas,
right.
Kansas State, West Virginia, TCU, great performances. Let's get to Arizona State versus Texas Tech. And I think we all called that right. We all called this game right. We said it would be a win. I went extreme. I thought it would be a score out. You went more, you know, common sense, conservative, and said 41-38. So you were a lot closer to getting that right than me. But no matter what, we all said that we knew that Arizona wouldn't lose. We knew that Sumlin had lost on the road to Hawaii. We also knew he only beat Northern Arizona. He has Khalil Tate. Like Sumlin or not, I know a lot of people around here didn't like him. They ran him out of College Station. However, he did win some big games in College Station. He is one of the only five coaches who have beaten Saban this decade. So you have to give the man his props because he knows exactly what he's doing. And I knew there was no way with them being a brand-new offense under Matt Wells, they were going into Tucson, Arizona, and whipping Kevin Sumlin's butt. But I want Tech to do well. They are in the big, you know, they are in the Big 12. And, you know, I think that's just a circumstance situation like that. Some things are not trying to go too far with what you represent, but it's just some stuff is common sense. And I feel like Khalil Tate being a junior or a senior, upperclassman versus this kid who only played so many games last year, I didn't think they had a chance. So that final was 28-14 if anybody stayed up late and watched it.
Right. And, you know, for all the teams that were impressive yesterday from the Big 12, Texas Tech was not one of them. This was a real reality check for the Red Raiders. Alan Bowman still put up the numbers on offense. He went 30 of 55 for 307 yards and a touchdown. But if you watched that game last night, Corey, their offensive line was outplayed all night. There was constant pressure. Alan Bowman was getting hit. He was, you know, the Arizona defensive line was making him feel them on every single play. He could feel the pressure, and you could definitely tell later in the game. He looked rattled the whole time. And ultimately, we kind of took the Texas Tech offense for granted. We thought that, or at least I thought, that they could consistently put up 30 points no matter who the coach is, no matter what the situation was. But they came out and got physically dominated by Arizona and only put up 14 points on the road. They were the only Big 12 team that was a disappointment yesterday.
And I think people need to understand the situation at Arizona. Marcel Shipp, who was a defensive coordinator, he played at Boise State. He also coached with Sumlin in College Station. He was given a little hot seat situation because of what happened at Hawaii and how last week they scored 50 at halftime, but they still let Northern Arizona score a bunch of points even though they had their backups in the second half. For him to make the adjustments he made with three down linemen a lot of times and get the pressure on that quarterback, it speaks a lot that they were dead serious about that at Arizona. They knew what was at stake, and it was, you know, they were not leaving Tucson getting whooped. And I'm pretty sure they also remember coming to Houston last year and getting whooped and embarrassed. And they just
right.
said, uh-uh, we're not doing this with our out-of-conference again.
Not
so,
again.
You know.
Yeah, Corey. So, I mean, you know, let's bounce back to a team that was impressive yesterday, Texas. They came back after getting beat by LSU. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They beat Rice 48-13. The game was played in Houston at NRG Stadium, but – it was a home game for the Longhorns. The stadium was completely orange.
Of course, we knew that.
Yeah. You know, the state of Texas always goes for the Longhorns. But, you know, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Sam Ellinger was impressive again. Went 23-27 for three touchdowns. The Longhorns just dominated all night.
Yeah, and I heard Keontae Ingram actually was about – I forgot what it was. He was either 12 of 13 – for 70-plus yards. I want to say he was like 13 for 75 or 77 yards with two touchdowns. So that's a good average. Good thing they got him going, because he's going to have to get going based on what's going on. I saw that Colin Johnson didn't have any catches, so I don't know if he's hurt or what's going on with him. I saw Eagles only had one catch. Devin Duvernay, Rob, we did not talk about him much last week. Devin Duvernay is not a big physical receiver. He's more of a short, stocky slot guy. He looks like he could play running back. That dude is a true beast. Block, catch, run, and do things that you absolutely don't think he can do.
Yeah, man. Couldn't agree with that more. Devin Duvernay has been one of the most impressive receivers in the conference to date. The Texas running back situation definitely looked better yesterday, but I'm holding out on any judgment for that until a bigger game. But the Longhorns have a big game coming to Austin next week, Corey. They're going to take on Oklahoma State. I feel like we're going to see who's the second best team in this conference next weekend.
I'm excited. I can't wait. Austin will be jumping. Oh, yeah, that is going to be a big one. I really am
excited
about that one.
Did you see Oklahoma State yesterday?
And yes, they beat Tulsa. And I think we all had it about the same. We all had it about 40-something to 20-something. That was about the final score. I think it was like 42-21, 48-21. I saw that. So they won at Tulsa, like home versus Tulsa, like we thought they would. And here's an interesting thing about what you just said about that big game, Rob. You got to understand this. I don't think since Tom Herman's been in Austin that he's actually beat Oklahoma State. I'll re-look that, but I'm pretty sure he has not beat Oklahoma State yet. Charlie Strong actually beat Oklahoma State once there, but I think since Herman's been in town, he hasn't beat Oklahoma State. So this will be his third shot at trying to beat Gundy.
Yeah, Mike Gundy, one of the longest – or the longest tenured coach in this conference, the guy who's built Oklahoma State from the ground up, really with the help of T. Boone Pickens. We did post this on the Facebook page this week, the famous Oklahoma State booster. Who donated over $650 million to the university.
Yes.
That's just an unreal number. I totally expected Oklahoma State to come out and play well, just kind of in his honor, with that in the back of their minds. They did. Chuba Hubbard, let's talk about him real quick. I am launching the Heisman campaign for Chuba Hubbard right now.
Here's what scares me. Here's what scares me about Oklahoma State. Because I did – I'm going to let you finish. But I did almost the same thing the year that they had the guy who's with the Steelers now. It's like their quarterbacks start off great and then
– James Washington.
I don't know. Go ahead and finish. I just had to butt in this because it's like I just get scared. It's like I want to give Oklahoma State, boom, props right away, but then I get scared when it comes down the later part of that stretch. But I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
No, man, I totally agree with that. That's actually kind of what's drawing me back on the Cowboys right now. Like I said, the Chuba Hubbard Heisman watch is in full swing right now. The guy's gone for 200 yards 2 out of 3 weeks. Yesterday against Tulsa, he had 32 carries. For 256 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, the wide receiver, Tylan Wallace, who, in my opinion, is the best receiver in the Big 12, had a 90-yard touchdown. The scary thing about Oklahoma State, like you just said, they only threw for 169 total yards, including that 90-yard touchdown. It was not a great day for Spencer Sanders, the quarterback. And what scares me about them is just having a younger quarterback when you're going to go play Jalen Hurts or, you know, for example, next week on the road in Austin against Sam Ellinger. I don't think they're going to run the ball the way they have to this point. So there's going to be way more on the shoulders of a young quarterback in Spencer Sanders. And that is obviously what scares me about Oklahoma State.
Yeah. And who I was talking about, Rob, I believe it was Mason Rudolph. That's who I was thinking of. Mason Rudolph.
Yes, sir.
He was a beast. Now, let's and then last, who had a bye? Baylor had a bye, so they're good. This upcoming week, we'll get to that soon. But let's get to our irritation segment.
Did you want to touch on Oklahoma real quick?
Yeah, we can touch on them. But you called that last week. You actually called that, I think, directly as the score ended up being. But go ahead and. Go ahead and touch on that real quick and let us know Jalen Hurts' numbers and how the Sooners did out there, because I think that's a game that you called absolutely perfect. Verbatim, I think the score you picked was exactly what it was. They only scored 14 points, and they scored at least 40. So, yeah, go ahead.
I did. Yeah, I mean, we all picked Oklahoma big at a struggling UCLA program. For UCLA, this is the second straight year that they've started 0-3. They're only averaging 14 points a game under Chip Kelly, and the hot seat is getting really, really warm for the program. for me, Corey, have you ever gone – you're a football coach. You know, maybe in the middle of the week you'll scrimmage with the JV team versus the varsity just to get some live action. That's what Oklahoma versus UCLA looked like. It was an absolute beatdown. Jalen Hurts went 15-20 throwing the ball for 289 yards, three touchdowns, and then he ran the ball 14 times for 150 yards and another touchdown. For those who are tracking home, that's 439 yards and four touchdowns for Jalen Hurts yesterday.
Whoa, that's insane.
That's my Heisman favorite. Third straight for the Sooners.
That's insane. Wow, that Red River rivalry, and you notice how I said it slowly, rivalry, because you can mess that word up easy. That is going to be a game to watch this year. Can't wait.
That's all I had on Oklahoma. I mean, they did exactly what we all thought they were going to do.
Yeah, that was excellent. That was excellent you calling that score out. So what I want to do is we're going to touch real quick on the coach's hot seat around the country real quick. Talk about coaches I think need to get it done. But right now, we'll talk about something that's bothering me and that's burning me. And what's burning me and what's bothering me is this whole Antonio Brown situation. Me and my co-host, Rob, we talked about this. The timing of it is really goofy and it's really weird. And in the back of my mind, the first thing I thought when I heard it was, oh, that happened in Miami. Antonio Brown's from Miami. Oh, let me get this straight. Miami never beats the Patriots. So that's something that Miami's trying to use as some type of strategy. Then I come to find out from some of my friends that, oh, guess what? They're playing Miami this week. And I just said, that's their way of saying we'll take away one of your top receivers because we know we don't have a chance. Now, in all seriousness, if Antonio Brown did do something, I'm sure he needs to be punished. But I do think it's odd that this person disappeared in 2017, disappeared, came back in 2018. There was a pregnancy test involved. In addition to that, some people said, oh, well, you got to stop meeting these girls. Well, he met her at a Bible study. In addition to that, I also come to find out that this person wanted him to invest in her business. He didn't want to invest. And then they parted ways again. And then magically now, another year and a half later, this happens. We don't take that type of stuff not serious, but if somebody does commit a crime like that to you, and if some guy is, quote-unquote, jacking off in front of you in your house, guess what you can do? Walk the hell out. Because I know my friends' personal trainers, they've been working with women and older women. If women just decide to pull something out on them and they're married in a relationship, they'll walk out. And I'm pretty sure Antonio Brown, being a football player, he wouldn't try and force you down. Being that he's a football player, he could probably get what he wants, any girl he wants. But most importantly, he knows how sensitive the NFL is right now, and he knows how big a trouble he would be in if he did something that dumb. However, you can't take people's allegations not serious until everything is finished. And I'll let Rob elaborate now.
So, Corey, you know, what I think is that I think she saw Antonio Brown on TV acting like a crazy person, you know, just like we all did, and said, maybe the world will believe me now that this man is crazy and did these weird things to me. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, the timing and everything, it's just it's very odd. And I don't want to dismiss her claims or anything like that. So I'm just trying to tread lightly on this subject. Yeah, if Antonio Brown did, you know, do what she's accusing him of, they should lock him up. He should pay the punishment for it. If she's making up these allegations because she tried to get money from him and he didn't want to invest in her business or whatever the case is, she should go to jail.
Exactly.
And that's pretty simple. And I think everybody does need to realize right now this is a civil case. There's no charges being pressed against Antonio Brown in a court of law. Simply a civil case that she would like to get money from him.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I'm going to listen to Rob because you never know. You don't want to be wrong about victims. But at the same time,
right.
I saw that world. I was a coach. I saw the games girls play. And they say, I don't have a backup plan. Let me sue, or let me find a way to get some money, or let me make – the worst thing you can do to a man is make him look like a rapist or a pedophile. So what people try and do when they destroy a man's character is try and make him look like that. But I totally agree with Rob. This senseless goofiness needs to stop. If a guy does this wrong, put him in jail. But if a girl keeps making up these allegations and lie and we hide her face and we do all this stuff, that's the end of it. She needs to go to jail because we're wasting people's time, money, and energy, and we have real people out there having crimes against them. And that's very scary that we're playing around because we're mad that we don't have money that, quote-unquote, we think we deserve instead of going out and working hard for your own money.
Right, and, you know, just to go down a little conspiracy hole here, there is one thing I thought about. Antonio Brown pissed a lot of people off with his actions, people in Pittsburgh, people in Oakland. It's possible that there is somebody who is paying her to go forward with these allegations to try to ruin his life. I mean, that's a possibility.
Exactly, and he's from Miami, born in Miami. This girl lives in Miami, so I don't know if he pissed somebody off of Miami. And it's
right.
Hometown.
Right.
So, yeah, that's it. And with my coach's hot seat this week, let's see, yeah, we got a little bit of time left. But my coach's hot seat this week, Rob, I'm going to talk about Lovie Smith, damn it. The conference where my man Rob's team is at now, he's originally Big 12 Nation, like I told y'all last week, Nebraska. But now, obviously, the Cornhuskers, exactly, the Cornhuskers are now Big 10 Nation. Here is my problem. Lovie Smith's a great NFL coach, did a hell of a job. But damn it, Rob, you cannot lose to Eastern Michigan at home. You just can't do it. I am sorry. You can lose Eastern Michigan on the road. You can lose to them on neutral site, but you cannot lose to Eastern Michigan in Champaign, Illinois, especially when in your fourth year in Champaign, your first year you lost to Western Michigan. Your second year you lost to somebody else at home. And then your third year you only won like two Big Ten games or so, and then this year it looked like you were off to a good start. And then you turn around and lose to Eastern Michigan at home. You need six wins to keep your job. Next week, they have Rob's hometown team, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Hell no, they don't have a shot. I know Scott Frost knows it's on the table. They're probably going to come into Champaign and kick their butt. If they don't, whatever. My other hot seat is Willie Taggart losing on the road at Virginia. Yeah, Virginia's ranked. Florida State is not going to put up with this crap much longer. He may be gone before the end of the season if this keeps up. Other than that, around the country, Les Miles shut me up. You know, he did one heck of a job. The other coaches, UNLV and New Mexico State, they weren't supposed to win their games that I thought were they should have got better at. Outside of that, those are just my two biggest guys. USC, maybe. USC's got to beat BYU. I know there's heat on Clay Helton out there at Southern California. However, it was at BYU, and he did lose his quarterback in the beginning of the year. And Clay Helton has won big double-digit games. However, those other guys I was talking about haven't even got the bowl games at the schools they're at.
So, Corey, I've got one that's, you know, this guy's currently 3-0, but his team has looked terrible thus far. I'm going to put P.J. Fleck on the hot seat at Minnesota. So far this season, Minnesota's won 28-21 against South Dakota State. They won 38-35 in overtime against Fresno State. And then yesterday they squeaked out a victory against Georgia Southern, 35-32. I know P.J. Fleck's a guy who's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way up in Minneapolis and really across the Big Ten. He just does some weird things. He doesn't put the players' names on his jerseys, on their jerseys, but he puts his phrase that he uses to sell T-shirts, row the boat, all over all of their gear.
Wow.
So that's just kind of a weird double standard. And, yeah, I mean, Minnesota, this is his fourth season there. He's just a guy that people really expected a lot out of coming from Western Michigan when he led them to an undefeated record. Minnesota's put a lot of money into their football program and their facilities. And so far, P.J. Fleck just doesn't look like the guy who's going to take their program to the next level.
Also, he got his butt whooped by Lovie Smith last year. That's one of Lovie Smith's Big Ten wins.
Exactly.
Whooping Minnesota at home.
Exactly.
And the only thing I can forgive him for in that situation, Rob, is that Georgia Southern did go on the road, or Georgia State did go on the road and beat Tennessee this year. So they look like they're a non-Power 5 good school. But I totally understand what you're saying. You got these big expectations. Minnesota decided to fire Tracy Clays because he stood with the players when they were going to boycott the bowl game because of the whole incident. And me and you talked about that a million times. We can do a
another
whole show
situation
on that.
Like that.
Get into that. Exactly. We're not even going to get into that because that's foolishness. And now look where they're at. And Minnesota has done this a couple of times where they fired I can't think of his name. He's on the Big Ten network right now. And then they went to Jerry Kill, and then they went to Clays, and Clays was doing a good job, and then they fire him. So it's a mess. It's a mess out there. But we'll see what happens. Minnesota's another one of those programs that they need to wake up and smell the coffee. Nebraska, your program, that's different. Y'all got money. Y'all got tradition. So y'all got a chance to bring it back. Minnesota's one of those places when somebody's averaging 8-9 wins a game a season, you better appreciate that. But we got about 5 minutes left or so of streaming time. So we are going to go, unless you want to touch up on something else on that subject, Rob, we can go into our weekly picks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, not on that. I just wanted to get into talking about next week. I know we do have 5 teams with their bye week coming up. So it's kind of a down week for the Big 12. But biggest game, obviously, like we already talked about, is going to be Oklahoma State at Texas. I've been saying all year that Oklahoma State is the third best team in this conference behind Texas at number 2, and then obviously Oklahoma at number 1. There's been a lot of Cowboys fans online saying that they are the second best team in this conference and potentially even the first. So I'm excited to see what we get from that. I think we're going to have a clear-cut second best team in this conference, though, come Saturday night.
I absolutely agree. So right now I'm going to start from the top. I'm going to go Iowa State at home versus UL Monroe. They are going to bounce back, and I say Iowa State wins this game 28-3 at home.
I think they bounce back, but I think Iowa State plays down to the level of their competition. I think that they squeak it out 24-20.
All right, down the list, TCU versus SMU. That is a rivalry game. Y'all notice how I slow down when I say rivalry because you can mess that word up easy. That is Dallas-Fort Worth. That is a Dallas-Fort Worth thing. You know, they're all in the same area, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, DFW. You know, anybody in Fort Worth loves the Cowboys and vice versa. So I'm going to go TCU probably beats SMU 38-17. Don't forget, guys, the old quarterback from the Longhorns, Shane Buechele, is starting at SMU at quarterback right now. But that's where I'm going with that real quick. 38 to about 17, I give TCU the edge.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a rivalry game, but it's one of those rivalries that is so one-sided. TCU is the only team winning in recent memory. I'm going to take TCU big. I think they come out and have another statement win. I think they're, you know, trying to show people what they're all about. I think they win 31-10.
Okay. And we're getting close here. So I'm going to just go over these real quick. West Virginia at Kansas. I would love to elaborate on this more, but we got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to go West Virginia 31. No, I'm going to go West Virginia 34, Kansas 31.
I'm going to take West Virginia 20, Kansas 14.
Baylor at Rice. So another home big game for Rice. I'm going to go Baylor 28, Rice 10.
I'm going to go Baylor big 45, Rice 21. 45-21 Baylor.
Wow. You believe in Baylor this year, bro. You said that last week, but yeah, you believe in Baylor this year. Oklahoma State at UT.
Offense.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Oklahoma State at UT. I don't have much time to think on this crap. I got a couple seconds. All right, Rob, I'm going to go – shoot. I'm going to go Texas 42, Oklahoma State 35.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma State pulling the upset. I think, you know, from what I've seen so far, they just have – an extremely high-powered offense, Tylan Wallace, Chuba Hubbard. I'm going to take Oklahoma State 31, Texas 29.
Okay. Then that will be our show for the week, guys. That is Big 12 Nation. Don't forget to check out my man Rob on Facebook Live this week. Rob, if, before you cut us off, if you want to tell anybody to follow you on Twitter, go ahead. And we out.
Yeah, so we're just focusing on the Facebook page right now. It's at Big 12 Nation. Keep following, keep commenting, keep sharing. We've had a ton of good interactions on there this week. And I would like to also mention our Monday mailbag segment that we're going to be starting. DM us any questions.